Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
That's right, it's another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. I'm also a writer over at BourbonStreetShots.com, along with a collection of other great writers, so definitely check that site out if you haven't already. Happy to be here with you this Friday. Pelicans play at home tonight in the Smoothie King Center against the Phoenix Suns. I'm going to have a game preview and what to watch for in that coming up in the second half of the podcast. First half of the podcast today, we're going to talk about, is help on the way? This Pelicans team at 0-5 needs some help. You can see it nightly on the court that they need something. We'll talk about what they kind of need. Do they have any assets to trade for? Maybe rank them a little bit in terms of that and see if maybe some help will be able to brought in. It's going to be kind of tough in that sense. Also, some good news for you guys. I finally got a hold of the Locked On Pelicans Twitter handle. It's at Locked On Pels. Pretty simple for you to remember, so definitely make sure you're following that along with me at NolaJake. Tweet any questions you guys have. I'll certainly answer them on the pod when I get a handful of them or some good ones. You guys know I pull a lot of things from all over the place to talk about, you know, different topics that everyone wants to hear, not stuff that I just want to talk about. So definitely, if you've got questions, tweet at me at NolaJake or at LockedOnPels. I can check it now, follow it. If you ever have feedback, don't hesitate to reach out to me. It's Jake at BourbonStreetShots.com. That's the email address I use for all of this. So we'll have a fun podcast for you guys today. Don't forget to rate us 5 stars, assuming you want to rate us 5 stars. Please don't rate me lower. Come on, be nice. On iTunes, make sure you're subscribing on iTunes, Audioboom, Stitcher, whatever podcast app you use. Stitcher is what I personally use and highly recommend. It's really been great, especially for drives, because you can download them right to your phone, listen to them if you can't be connected at the time. Saves you a little bit of data that way as well. So make sure you're getting, you know, the up-to-date news. No one else is coming to you 5 days a week like this where you don't need to read something. Throw it in your car on your way to work. Listen to it when you're getting ready in the morning, whatever it is. I just appreciate you listening however you want to do it. And just make sure you're subscribing so that you're getting the content that we're putting out constantly for you guys. So again, on iTunes, we're on Audioboom, any podcast app, just search for Locked On Pelicans. You'll be able to find it. So we're just going to dive right into it today. This is a fun one where we can just kind of tackle the topics of the day right now. So the Pelicans have needs, and I'm not talking about, you know, they're lonely men by themselves and they have needs. We've seen this team has talent on the, you know, this roster. You have Buddy Hield, Langston Galloway, Lance Stephen, even Solomon Hill at times show they can score. The problem is that no one does it consistently. And most of those guys I just mentioned are kind of pure shooters outside of Lance Stephenson. This team definitely still needs a shot-creating guard. Think someone in the lines of kind of like Tyreke Evans, Lance Stephen, even Jrue Holiday. A guard that can kind of just create for himself that isn't relying on someone else. He doesn't necessarily need open looks and passes. You got a guy who's kind of, you just need a guy who's like instant offense. Think like a guy like Kevin Martin coming off the bench for various teams over his career. He's a guy that could come in and just score. Pelicans need someone who can do that. They've been going very cold during times in games, and they need someone they can sub in who can at least just, you know, light a spark on this team. Lance Stephenson has shown he can do it at times. The problem is you get good and bad Lance Stephenson. I really love it, and we got to make this a thing. Ryan Schwan, one of the writers for Bourbon Street Shots, started calling Lance Stephenson Chaos Stephenson, and I am on board with this nickname, so I really hope we can make this a thing and can make it, you know, his nickname going forward. So Chaos Stephenson can do it, and that's a perfect nickname because, again, he's going to give you turnovers. He's going to give you personal fouls. He's going to give you some really bad offense at times where he's just kind of dribbling around, unable to really do much, and you think he's going to go kind of hero ISO ball rather than this team-oriented style that Alvin Gentry has these guys playing for the most part. And you want a guy who kind of gives you more of the good than the bad than Lance does. Lance is a nice little piece off the bench, useful at times, but he's not someone you really want to rely on. So again, they need that shot creating guard. They also need a better all around big to pair with Anthony Davis. If you could kind of combine all of the qualities of the other big men than AD on this team into one, you'd have an ideal player to pair with him. Unfortunately, you can't do that. The science just doesn't exist yet. So right now you're stuck with Omer Asik for defensive rebounds and guarding bigger, bruisier bigs like Greg Monroe, Andre Drummond. Even a guy like Marc Gasol, he'd be better suited to handle. I was kind of surprised we didn't see him a little bit more, in that matchup in terms of starting, though. Omer Asik got, I think, about 35 minutes last night. So this team needs a better big who can handle these bigger, bruisier centers while still not killing you offensively. And unfortunately, that's not necessarily easy to find. So you've got two real needs here, a shot-creating guard and a better overall big. So how does this team get help? You know, the first thing to think about is there are some guys out injured that are going to be coming back. Holiday, what he's going to do is obvious. He kind of is that shot-creating guard to an extent, maybe a poor man's version of that, but he gives you more on the defensive end. He certainly helps you with, the ball movement and the passing. He can get to the rim when he needs to. The pick and roll, he's great there. He's not the instant offense, but he's a good enough offensive player that it's going to improve this Pelicans team a ton. Tyreke Evans is also going to come back at some point. The problem is he's so similar to Lance, and we see how Lance is neither necessarily elevating nor detracting from the team. That does Tyreke Evans answer a lot of questions? And I don't think so. I don't know if he's going to be the huge help that people are hoping for. And that leaves the third guy who's out, and that's Quincy Pondexter. And I don't really factor him in. He played well for the Pelicans 2 years ago now. He's going to be away from the game for about 18 months by the time he comes back. So the last time he stepped on the court for the Pelicans was in the playoffs against Golden State. So he was good in that series. He was good in after they had traded for him leading up to that playoff series. But the problem was before that he'd been an inconsistent offensive player. He wasn't a guy you could rely on to be, you know, a tremendous three-point shooter to create that instant offense that I keep saying here. He's a role player. Him coming back isn't going to factor into the offensive side of the ball a ton. They have shooters that have kind of replaced his value and what he brought to the team. And also, just speaking from a personal example, I saw him at one of the games recently during shoot-arounds. His body shape just looks weird. His legs are very, very skinny. I don't know if that's what he's always looked like or if this just has to do with not playing basketball competitively for 18 months or so now. So I don't know how much he's going to help. I don't think he's going to fix anything if and when he comes back. Hopefully, it'll be back sooner. You know, it can't hurt to have a guy just a healthy body on this roster, but I'm not going to factor him in because I don't think he's going to necessarily bring much to the table right away, maybe by the end of the season, but he's not going to fix the problems now, and who knows what the type of player he's going to be going forward. So you're looking more than for, you know, a trade and trying to bring in one of these pieces and help and players that they're missing. And so let's look at some of the assets the Pelicans have. The first one is obviously going to be a future first-round pick. It's the most obvious. It probably has, you know, the most value. First-round picks are very useful. And then if you're Dell Demps, how nervous are you right now sitting 0-5? Last year, the team was just decimated by injuries, underperformed after you fired Monty Williams. You have Alvin Gentry. It doesn't seem like that's working out a ton right now. There's still time to turn it around, of course. But if you're Dell Demps, you've got to really be worried about your job. And that leads me to believe he's at least exploring options for trading, you know, next year's first-round pick for a player. I think what's going to be kind of interesting is if it doesn't get traded. You've got to wonder if ownership thinks maybe they've made the decision they're going to let him go, or they know they're going to let him go after the end of this year if the team doesn't make the playoffs. They might nix a trade that involves a future first-round pick so they have that asset for the new GM, either to take a guy that he wants in the draft or to trade it and make a deal this coming offseason. So if the first-round pick doesn't get traded, you've got to wonder if that actually might mean that Dell Demps is going to get axed. And he's certainly not going to trade it unless there's someone he really likes. But he has a propensity to trade first-round picks. Right now, they need some help. They're not trying to build through the draft. Drafting a rookie next season doesn't exactly make a ton of sense. So you figure he might want to be moving that. That first-round pick is going to have more value to the Pelicans and other teams than the Pelicans trying to trade a guy like Tyreke Evans, which I'm going to talk about in a second. So you could potentially, you know, get players back for that first-round pick. Lance Stephenson was actually packaged with a first-round pick last season. Ryan Anderson on his expiring deal with the Pelicans was rumored to be on the block for a potential future first-round pick. The Pelicans decided not to go that route. Obviously, Ryan Anderson wasn't traded, but it sounded like those were the rumors that were out there. But it sounded like that future first-round pick was years in the future and not an immediate one. An immediate first-round pick could definitely have more value. So those two guys are kind of what you're looking at to potentially trade. You've got a big name that always comes up is Vucevic in Orlando. He's a big, I think, would pair well with Anthony Davis. He can defend. He can attack on offense, too, which is really nice. The other guy I think could be had for that first-round pick, no problem, would be Nerlens Noel from Philly. That would be kind of funny. I think if you wait out Philly, you might be able to get him for less. They seem really intent on trying to move him. The injury history would worry me, especially coming to the Pelicans, where injuries are just, this is what they do here. But I think you could have Nerlens maybe potentially for second-round picks and a player, something like that. It might be something worth exploring. Vucevic, I think, is going to cost a ton more. He is an expiring, so Orlando, if they realize they're not going to re-sign him, certainly are going to try and look to trade him and just get something of value in return. But he's a good player. They're not going to let him just go for nothing. It's not going to be Ajinsa and Evans for Vucevic at all. Tyus Jones is another guy that's been mentioned in rumors. That's the guard the Pelicans have kind of been targeting. He's on the trading block in Minnesota. But the problem is a first-round pick for him is too much. I don't want to. I wouldn't do that. I'd rather draft a guy with that pick and see. Tyus Jones shows flashes of potential to me. He's a pretty decent guard. But I think they just have too many good guards up there right now, on the Timberwolves in Minnesota. So the problem is, I think a future first is going to be too much for him, and I would shut that trade down immediately. Zach LaVine, who a guy they're not going to trade, I would, you know, trade a future first-round pick for in a second, but he's not moving whatsoever. So we got to look at the other trade assets. I know people are hoping Ajinsa is a trade asset because he's a center on about a $5 million a year salary, pretty cheap. He's not a trade asset. The guy can barely stay on the court because of foul troubles. He has decent range for a big, but he doesn't hit that shot incredibly well. He just has the range. If you're not making the shots, it doesn't help you. I don't think he's a trade asset. That's kind of one of the guys I get asked all the time on Twitter, and it blows my mind when people just think you can make a trade of Evans and Ajinsa for good whatever good player you want. Ajinsa basically has no value in the league. The Pelicans shouldn't even be playing him at this point. Omer Asik could rehab some of his value this year, potentially get moved. I think his contract's still too much for teams to really want to take on. Offensively, he's a liability. I think he's more of a situational player than a guy you want to be playing 35 minutes on, you know, on a nightly basis. So it's going to lead me to a guy I've said on Twitter I don't think has a ton of value, and I told people, stop telling me this trade is going to include him or whatever. Don't put him into things. And that's actually Tyreek Evans. Like I said, I don't think this guy could be traded before, but I started thinking about it a little bit more. The salary cap this coming season is not going up as much as teams originally thought. And teams plan out 3-4 years in advance for the salary cap. You know, Dell Demps, when he made a lot of these signings, knew that the salary cap would rise. All of a sudden, Tyreek Evans on his contract, it's slightly undervalued if you discount injuries under the new cap. On the old cap, yeah, it was a little overpay, you know, about right. Here, there's some value to be had there. So with teams planning for max level salary room, and then the salary cap revision dropping it down a couple of million, they all of a sudden don't have room for a max guy. Expirings last year had no value, again, saw it with Ryan Anderson. But now they have a little bit more because now salary cap space is going to be a little bit tighter. Teams just don't have a max contract. You know, 30 teams in the league don't have that to give out anymore. Now teams need to maybe cut some salary and take on an expiring so that those guys, they can just let them go and they have the salary cap space. The Pelicans do that and move Tyreek Evans, and let's say his value increases mainly due to his contract being expiring. They're not taking back another expiring. Orlando's not trading Vucevic for Tyreek Evans or anybody because they want salary cap space, so you're not going to trade an expiring for another expiring that doesn't give you the money that you need. You would just let the guy walk that you already have on the team. So they're going to have to take on long-term money for that, so you want them to target rookie-type players on rookie deals. So move Tyreek Evans for a promising rookie and maybe someone on a worse deal that has two or three more years. So you take back the bad salary in that one guy, but you get the player you're really trying to acquire. That's where I think Tyreek Evans come in from. I don't know if I necessarily have any names. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson is a guy I could see potentially getting moved, but I think their salary cap situation isn't as bad there anymore. So I don't know. Like I said, I don't think help's really coming in the middle of the season. The trade talks aren't going to really pick up till the trade deadline. People have time to wait. The teams that are selling these players are in no rush to sell them right now. You may as well wait to see if, you know, someone gets injured and a team gets desperate and overpays for them. So you'd be looking closer to mid-February, right around the trade deadline, before the Pelicans can really have a realistic chance of bringing in a guy in a trade, moving out that first round pick or Tyreek Evans. Those are, I think, the two big pieces they have. Maybe Lance Stephenson, if he plays incredibly well, someone, you know, a playoff team makes a move for him because he's so cheap. You wouldn't necessarily have to give up much to get Lance Stephenson, but you're looking at a second round pick at best for him. No one's going to trade a first for him again. Even if he plays well for the Pelicans, it's just too much risk, and you can't risk it on a guy who's on a 1 year deal who can just then bolt and walk again. I think Memphis did that. I don't think they were too happy with that, especially now that he's here in New Orleans. So, you know, not a ton of assets. I don't think things are really going to happen. Their best chance for making, you know, getting help and making a move would just be that, hey, it's going to be this coming offseason where the free agent class is a bit more loaded. There's a lot of guys out there. The Pelicans aren't going to get any of the big names. And as we get closer to the offseason, which is way down the line, we'll start looking at names, targets, things like that. But just what I'm saying is don't expect help to come just yet. Maybe that future first gets moved for someone, but I don't think it's going to be a sexy name. That's kind of a game changer for anybody, but we'll see. All right, so game tonight in the Smoothie King Center. The Pelicans take on the Phoenix Suns, the 1-4 Phoenix Suns. So, you know, this isn't necessarily a great team they're matching up against here. Maybe the Pelicans can get their first win and start 1-5 as opposed to 0-6, which certainly would be a good thing. I think they have a decent chance. I thought they had a decent chance the past couple of nights too, and I've clearly been wrong about how they've played. That's a lot due to the inconsistencies the team has shown and the fact that their offense just has looked out of sync at times despite, you know, quality performances from certain guys. So Phoenix, they're the fourth worst offense in the league. That's certainly going to help the Pelicans. Their defense has played better this season, though I think it's been a bit overrated because of that opening night game against the Denver Nuggets and the fact that Memphis just looked absolutely atrocious the other night. It was just horrible, piss poor basketball all around. So I think that kind of inflates their defensive rating. I don't know if this defense is as good as the numbers indicate, so I'm not going to entirely go off of that until we get a larger sample size for the Pelicans this season. So Phoenix, fourth worst offense. They're middle of the road in defense. This will be basically a nice test for Solomon Hill. He's played very well on defense for the Pelicans. That's stuff that doesn't show up in the stat sheet. He's going to be matched up against TJ Warren, the small forward for Phoenix, and he's been their best player. He does kind of a lot of iso ball, where he's going to take the ball on the wing and try and get inside and score. So Solomon Hill needs to keep this guy in front of him, keep Warren in front of him. Don't give him room to go to the basket. On the Pelicans' offensive side, they need to have some good ball handling and good ball security. Phoenix is top 10 in steals per game. They average close to 10. Pelicans actually force more in an opponent. But Phoenix is still top 10, and they're going to make you pay if you turn the ball over. We saw what happened to the Pelicans against Memphis, where they had a ton of turnovers. Memphis turned that into easy points. I think it was 23 fast break points off turnovers, basically, for Memphis in a game in which they only scored 75 in regulation. Think about that for a second. If they don't get those turnovers and those points off turnovers, Memphis probably doesn't win. If the Pelicans have a little bit better ball security, they can certainly do that. You want to do that against Phoenix. They're a bad offensive team. Don't give them chances to score easy points. Hold on to the ball. At least make Phoenix work on offense rather than, you know, easy 2 points or an easy, you know, Puget from three in transition. That's going to be a big thing for them tonight. Phoenix does not shoot a ton of threes on offense, and the ones that they do take, they do not shoot well. They're third worst shooting from three in the league. Pelicans are actually second worst, so it goes to show you. But don't be too worried if you see defenders sagging off perimeter players. You kind of saw this Pelicans team do that against the Milwaukee Bucks in that loss at home. You know, there's that gif of who was it? Dante Cunningham sagging off of Jabari Parker, who's only a 25% three-point shooter. He did most of his damage getting into the paint. That's why these Pelicans defenders were sagging off of these guys. It's not that they just didn't know what was going on. You don't need to be, you know, draped all over a bad three-point shooter when he's on the perimeter, especially if they're known for driving. That's what this Phoenix team tries to do. They're going to be on the perimeter. They're going to pump fake. Pelicans need to be smart defenders, not bite on the pump fakes. The second they bite on those pump fakes, if they do, the Phoenix Suns are going to drive to the rim. That's not what you want. That's how you give up 58 points in the paint. It's not post play. It's guys driving. It all starts from perimeter defense. So they need to be smart. Don't bite on pump fakes and get beat on drives. Omer Asik can defend the rim some, but he can't defend the rim if he's getting blitzed night in, night out, you know, 20, 30 times a game of people just driving. He's going to pick up fouls. He can't do that. Speaking of fouls, Phoenix gets to the line a lot. If defenders get beat for the Pelicans, don't just kind of grab them from behind. Just let them take the layups. You don't want this Phoenix team that's not a good offense to be getting into the bonus early. You're giving them free instant offense when you foul them then and you send them to the line. They'd rather get to the line and take free throws than three-pointers right now. Don't do stupid fouls. It happened against Memphis early where Solomon Hill picked up some early fouls. Dante Cunningham picked up some early fouls. And it led to that first quarter being really rough for the Pelicans. Against a not good team in the Phoenix Suns, don't do that. Don't make their life easy. Again, it comes down to smart basketball. So the Pelicans are also going to need a good shooting night. Phoenix grabs defensive rebounds pretty well. The Pelicans aren't going to have a lot of second chance points tonight. They're not going to get a ton of offensive rebounds to reset possessions. The shots they are going to get, they need to take, and they really need to make. We've seen signs of life from Buddy Hield, signs of life from Langston Galloway. Again, Solomon Hill has played well at times. Etuan Moore has been a consistent outside threat. Even Lance Stephenson, you know, has shown he's got a bit of range on his jumper right now. They need to really make their shots tonight and keep shooting if they're not making them early on. Shooters got to shoot. They got to shoot out of slumps. If these guys go cold, keep shooting. Have confidence in it because they're going to get good looks with this Phoenix team not being tremendous defensively. I thought a little bit the other night against Memphis that the Pelicans might have seemed a little bit tired. They had an off day today. They had an off day on Thursday. They did not practice. Hopefully that's going to be the rest Anthony Davis needs to bounce back from his pedestrian 10-point game against Memphis to get this team's head on straight a little bit, maybe a little bit of mental rest, kind of tuning out, getting away from being so desperate from not having a win. I think that's certainly going to help the team, and we'll see if that rest helps them get their first win tonight in the Smoothie King Center. So that's all I've got for you guys today on Locked On Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Again, make sure to subscribe and listen to it daily and share it with your friends. Like I've always said, even if you've got a friend who just likes the Pelicans, point us out to them. Send them our direction. I'm sure they're going to be happy with the podcast. You know, maybe we can make them a little bit more knowledgeable, more fun to talk to at the bar than when they shout off, you know, kind of dumb ideas. I have one or two friends that do that. They try and talk my ear off of basketball and don't seem to know anything. And it drives me absolutely insane because I'm too much of a nice guy to exactly tell them they're wrong. And then they're probably going to listen to this today and all my friends are going to think it's them. So I'm enjoying the head games here a little bit, I guess. So send them our way. You know, we got the best Pelicans knowledge for you here, bourbonstreetshots.com as well. No one's bringing you coverage like this. So please like it, subscribe to it, rate it, share it with people. And don't forget to give the site now a follow on Twitter. It's at Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison. It's at Nola Jake on Twitter. Thank you guys for listening. Enjoy your weekend. Hopefully the Pelicans get a win tonight. If they do, we'll break it down on Monday for y'all and you'll know exactly what went right and how they did it. If they don't, we'll also break it down for you, tell you what went wrong, keep you knowledgeable and up to date with this team. So again, enjoy your weekend, you guys.
Somewhere deep inside your mind, there's a place where dreams live. And now those dreams have the chance to come to life because USAA Life Insurance is sponsoring the Live Your Dream sweepstakes where you could win $50,000. That's $50,000 to let those dreams out of your head and into your hands. Enter for a chance to win and view official rules at www.usaa.com/lifesweeps or call 1-800-531-LIFE.
No purchase necessary. USAA Life Insurance Company, San Antonio, Texas, and in New York by USAA Life Insurance Company of New York, Highland Falls, New York.